In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. So glad you're joining us here on the iSpy Radio Show. This being the second weekend in December, we're going to do a bit of an early year in review and also a look at the year ahead. You know, I thought 2020 was a hard year to swallow, but 2021 made 2020 seem almost normal by comparison. It's been stunning just how far and how quickly we've been sliding towards outright Marxism. By far the biggest test for America this year has been the administrative state testing out authoritarian rules taken to the maximum, vaccine mandates and by extension COVID passports, where the government is literally demanding it has control over your body. It is the death of America if these are allowed to stand. Representative Thomas Massie said it perfectly. Anyone who believes a U.S. president can unilaterally impose a medical treatment on all Americans as a condition of their employment is constitutionally illiterate and morally bankrupt. And let's back up a little bit. We all know people who only read headlines and not the story. Maybe social media has conditioned people to do that. But 2021 was the year when all that headline-only reading came to fruition because the big headline read, FDA approves Pfizer vaccine. And people believed it without looking into it any further. Many fighters just gave up. Politicians, believing it, also believed they now had the power to issue mandates. Your life is ruled right now because of a false headline. Your country hangs in the balance over it. Because there is no FDA-approved vaccine. Not yet. They instead gave approval to a vaccine that does not yet exist, Comirnaty. But they did not approve the Pfizer vaccine. If you read the source letters, buried in the footnotes where no one looks, certainly not reporters, was the acknowledgement by the FDA that Comirnaty did not exist on the market and that its approval was pending and would only get final approval based on the outcome of their clinical trials, which wouldn't even be finished until 2022 or 2023, and now it's even looking like 2024. In a second letter to Pfizer, the FDA extended the Emergency Use Authorization, the EUA. It did not approve the Pfizer vaccine, but since the approved, big air quotes there, the approved vaccine didn't exist yet, they would allow Pfizer, as an EUA, to be a substitute. It's bait and switch. As we said before, if they could mandate an EUA drug, they would have done so long before. If the Pfizer vaccine is the same as the BioNTech, Comirnaty, then they would have simply approved the Pfizer. Politicians and the FDA know that there is established law preventing the government from mandating a drug that is EUA. Such drugs are experimental. That's the basis of the Nuremberg Code. But they desperately wanted to force this drug on people. Why? Why are they so desperate to force people to take it? You know, we really don't have a definitive answer to that. And maybe that's what 2022 will be about. Uncovering what this has all been about. Even lawyers arguing in court against the mandate have missed this. The mandate is invalid, moot, if there is no FDA-approved vaccine, because you can't mandate an EUA drug. It's like basing environmental rules on unicorns. To protect the habitat of unicorns, there will be no more logging or damming of rivers or accessing such areas. Well, if there's no unicorns, all the rules that follow are null and void. But as we were lurching toward full communist control with the vaccine passports and more, things kind of stalled out in 2021, and I put it right at the Virginia election, because then things started taking a turn for the better, leaving the end of the year looking a whole lot more positive than we started. Right now, not only is Biden's illegal mandate 0-3 in the courts, now even Democrats are suddenly slinking away from it, calling it a bad idea. The vaccine may not be able to stop COVID, but it turns out trying to force it on people may just stop the spread of Bidenism. To talk about all that, I'd like to welcome State Senator Dennis Linthicum back to the show. He is the senator for Senate District 28 in the Klamath Falls area. He's also the treasurer of the Oregon Republican Party. Dennis, it is great to talk to you today.
You bet. Thank you for the invitation. It's always fun to chat with you, both you and Carla. Carla's in the background, I know, and it's great to have you guys on board.
Yes, she is here to shake her fist at us if we get close to running over time. That's her job, and she does it well. So before we get going, though, did the Democrats do much damage to your Senate district with the state Senate redistricting?
Not really. I do live in an extremely conservative area on the east side. The east side of Oregon is all of those red counties and red municipalities, and red not being communist, but red being freedom lovers of the United States of America. Those constitutional conservatives live on the east side, and unfortunately, the Portland metro area is as loony and left and lawless as you can get. So in my district, they took my home out of my district on two of the different maps. They left it in three, and then the map that finally got approved was a map we had never seen before. So much for the approval process being transparent and available for public comment. The map that finally got approved, it's not like it never existed before. Obviously, it was in the background. It was under the covers. Nobody knew it was there. And it reared its ugly head after the whole process was over. And they said, oh, here's a compromise. And they shovel this thing out. So I go from representing five rural counties to only representing three counties. I lose the entire county of Lake County, and I lose the entire county of Crook County. And I end up with only, they pushed me basically into the Medford-Jackson County area. So I have Jackson County, all of Klamath County, and more of Deschutes County. They brought me all the way up to the Bend city municipal border, and I got Sun River, which I didn't have before, and several of those things. So it's fascinating the way they just move the pieces around to fit their desires, and the minority party is just left out in the cold.
Yeah, and that's disappointing, because they're supposed to draw these maps based in part, at least, on people. People are supposed to have things in common, and I'm just not sure how much people in Klamath have in common with the metropolis of Bend, but yeah, that's Democrats for you. So I had closed last week's show talking about Oregon's attempt to hide their attempt to push through a COVID passport, except it was exposed by Oregon's grassroots, who got the word out with only a couple days left to spare. And I suspect Oregon Health Authority must have been inundated with angry letters telling them in no uncertain terms, absolutely not. Because suddenly they're saying, oh, we weren't going to do mandatory COVID passports. No, no, it was just going to be voluntary. Yeah, sure it was. So what can you tell us about that? And also, what are your thoughts on a vaccine passport?
Well, yeah, the Oregon Health Authority has no business creating a system that forces private business, private industry, mom and pop, or store chain, it doesn't matter which, to be their enforcement agents. This is how they've gotten away with the entire OSHA scam that's been perpetrated on employers and employees, because OSHA has stepped in and said, our duty, our responsibility is to enforce safety rules between the employee and his employer. So this mandate with regard to vaccines under OSHA is simply to make sure employees in their workplace aren't being harmed because of the employer's lax rules or something of that nature. So now, because that's failing across the United States, in fact, OSHA's mandate from the Biden administration has been ruled unconstitutional, is now null and void in all of those, in all 50 states, based on rulings coming out of the Fifth and Sixth Circuit courts. But this is the Democrat and the authoritarian, you know, blood that pumps through Kate Brown's veins. Her administration can only rely on edicts. and unconstitutional mandates. They can really only rely on brute force because nobody agrees with them. So when nobody agrees with them, what do they rely on? They rely on not the democratic process, not the transparency and the favorable approach to letting every person make a decision for themselves, their families, their children, their lives, but they can only rely on one thing, and this is this totalitarian leaning or mindset is really destructive. It's destructive to our entire sense of community.
Yes, it absolutely is, and it's of course going to lead straight toward communist China style social credit score. So I'm glad it's been defeated. I don't trust that Oregon won't try it again, but we will be keeping our eye on that. All right, let's go and take a break there. Coming up, we'll have more with State Senator Dennis Lithicum talking about the state of the state of Oregon and the year in review. Senator Dennis Lithicum represents Senate District 28 in the Klamath Falls area, and we're talking today about the state of the state of Oregon. A bit of an early year-end review, and then coming up, we'll be talking about the year ahead as well. And we were talking about the vaccine passports there, and it's just reprehensible that this is an idea even being floated in a supposedly free country. And yet, as you mentioned during the break there, here's Austria, which is pushing forward with this, and it's almost like they don't remember history. There are people alive today that experienced Nazi Germany, and yet somehow they seem to have forgotten all those lessons of history.
Yeah, and your listeners ought to find themselves just wondering out loud and with each other in their family time and community, will we be able to shop at our favorite stores? Can we eat at our restaurants that we like? Can we ride on public transit, attend college? All of these things, you know, in Austria today require a passport. And if you don't have the passport, does that mean you can't get a bowl of breakfast cereal? I mean, how weird is it to think that we would actually create public health problems in this organized attempt, hastily organized attempt, to enforce public standards for health? And at some point, even employers have no business demanding vaccines for their employees. Could an employer demand that you take some kind of uppers so that you're more productive while you're loading the truck or something? I mean, at some point you realize anytime you get an employer mandating what an employee has to do to comply with your supposed health standards, we've got a weird situation. This is unconstitutional. It's a biased attack on private citizens, and I actually think it's an assault on public health. Public health actually doesn't really exist. Your community doesn't have a health status of its own. Your individuals within the families and homes and within the community all have individual health needs and requirements and health care. They're looking for access to health care, but your you cannot rate the public health of your city, your municipality, your county, your state in any meaningful sense an aggregate number. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and it's terribly frightening. I would really encourage people out there to look into China's social credit score. And we'll put some links up to articles I've read in the past. It is truly frightening how overwhelmingly powerful that state is and how much control it has over every aspect of your life. And it is truly sickening, and it should sicken true-blooded Americans in terms of if this is where we're going. I mean, that is just insane. I don't want to be any part of it. You can lose your job if you don't have a high enough social credit score. You can be denied financing. You can lose your apartment. You can lose, it's just amazing how many rights that they control over you if you don't obey enough, then suddenly they will start stripping you of the freedoms that they have graciously allowed you to have in the first place. Speaking of some freedoms that they are graciously allowing, one of the things that that OSHA wants to do right now is make permanent mask mandates and some of these other COVID mandates. This is at a time when more states are opening up that are not mandating masks, among other things. Science is showing that masks do not protect you, and it is doing real harm to kids, including a study recently out of the UK. It showed a whopping 23% decline in cognitive abilities It seems to me these permanent mandates are not going to play well for Democrats in 2022. At least I would think so, although maybe Portlanders just like being abused. I'm surprised, really, the Democrats haven't just proposed what they really want is let's just go straight for duct tape.
That's a good phrase. Yeah. And I, my prayer is that people see the writing on the wall. Look, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Okay, a month. Okay, 90 days. Okay, 180 days. The first mask mandate for 180 days expires. Oh, by the way, we had no singing in your church, no congregational settings. Right. I had that lawsuit saying it was a denial of your religious freedom. And that after the 180 days, the court says, well, that one expired. So this, your lawsuit is moot. There's no point in taking it any further. And they, you know, just say, oh, well, let bygones be bygones. And it's like, no, at some point within our crisis ridden United States or Oregon, there has to develop a potent enough political force that has enough moral courage to stand up against these abusive policies. And if they don't have that moral courage, which I'm praying like you, that everyone finally says, hey, pal, enough is enough. And they tell the governor and her cronies in the Democrat legislature, we're not going to do this anymore. Time's over. You've had since 1984 where there's been no Republican leadership, and you guys have destroyed Portland, and you've sucked so many taxpayer dollars out of our pockets, and you're sponsoring the printing press that's running at high speed at the Biden administration, and we're creating inflation that no man on the street, no plumber, no welder, no school teacher can manage. And yet we're going to just keep pretending that it's so. This is the way the world was meant to be. And it's like, this is nonsense. These are all political decisions that are destroying your life and my life and the lives of constituents in my district. And we've got to say, we're not going to do it anymore. This is absurd.
Yeah. So elected Democrats have been doing away with law and order over the last year here and then have been surprised when crime shoots up. And we've got kind of an odd situation happening down there in your neck of the woods where it was the same thing where they thought, well, if we just make marijuana legal, then the crime will go away and we won't have to deal with any of this illegal stuff. But now you've got cartels down there in Southern Oregon. Talk to us about that situation. Are people worried? Are they buying more guns and ammo? What's going on?
Yeah. I don't run an ammo store, so I'm not sure about the question. I assume that's true, though. The problem is legislators saw the opportunity for tax revenue coming from marijuana. They did not weigh marijuana on a medical competency or the ability for libertarian-like ideology. They simply allowed marijuana because they knew they could raise millions of dollars of tax revenue. That's the problem we're in, is now that they've done that, they've gone for the greed of the moment, now we're being saddled with the destruction of our families and our communities.
Yeah, greed for the moment is a good way to put it. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Senator Dennis Litt to come out of the Klamath area. And welcome back. We're talking today to Dennis Lipscomb. He is a businessman, rancher, irrigator, and former Klamath County Commissioner, and he's also the senator from that area in Senate District 28. And so, Dennis, in that last segment there, we just touched on some of the lawlessness that is out there. And for some reason, the Democrats seem to think that lawlessness is good for Democrats getting elected. And I don't think that I really agree with that, but it is a classic Marxist tactic where they sow chaos because it's only by causing so much chaos that they convince people that the old order doesn't work and needs to be replaced because it's failing. Rather than what is really happening, the older order is being sabotaged by Marxists. Or with all the chaos and lawlessness, people just get worn down and give up, and you can only take so much torture before you finally give in, except that if you elect the people causing it, you are rewarding them for their destruction. It's essentially political blackmail. So do you think Democrats in kind of embracing this chaos and lawlessness and getting rid of the police, is this really a winning strategy going forward, or are they working from a 1920s playbook?
Well, I think the 1920s playbook is effective. I think the Marxist ideology is attractive. Look, it is way easier to tear down and to destroy than it is to build. To build, you have to understand how all the pieces come together. You need a cooperation. Nobody can even build a house by themselves, let alone a city or a high rise. And so capitalism requires cooperation, and the left says that we will cooperate and we'll give you the easy job, a Molotov cocktail there, some looting here, a brick through that window. You can go to Home Depot. In fact, the left is sponsoring trips to Home Depot to steal sledges and hammers and then go down to the jewelry store and break the display cases and take all the rings, diamonds, and jewelry out. And then you, quote unquote, feel justified in your rewards because you've been oppressed your entire life and you deserve a break and you got your broken glass today and ta-da, they've got insurance. And you hear that mime where we say, or they pretend to say, that those capitalist pigs, they have insurance, they're not going to hurt. And what that it's truly a lack of understanding. While enriching their wretched selves, they're purporting the worst purposes of their agenda, pretending that everyone will be free once we destroy what currently exists. Yeah. And that would be fine, except for what comes at the back end. What do you get after the day's over? What do you have to build with? And where are you going to gain support? It's totalitarian all the way down. Mm-hmm. Remember, when we started, we were talking about Kate Brown doesn't have support for any of her policies. The only tactic she can use is brute force.
Yes.
And it's all under the color of law. Like, oh, this is legal, but I can shove this down your throat. And it's just wrong. Headed and it's destructive. So I hope we undo them during this next election cycle.
I certainly hope so. But I mean, in terms of the chaos, I mean, you've got California there, which I don't know if it's a statewide thing or just in certain cities and whatnot, but they passed an ordinance that if you steal under $1,000, they won't even bother to prosecute. I mean, you literally have thieves going into stores with their calculators out to add up what they're taking to make sure what they steal is under $1,000. I don't know if that includes sales prices, you know, maybe $1,000 Gucci price per selling for on discount at $500. I don't know if that counts for it as 500 or 1,000, but I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, to think that people can go in and steal $1,000 worth of merchandise a day, I mean, that's over $230,000. That's a pretty good salary. And guess what? It's all tax-free, but I don't know if that's ever going to come to Portland, but I could see some people embracing that.
Well, yeah, and your point about the calculator, it proves an economic point that was made by Hazlitt, and it's everybody, and Milton Friedman said the same thing, everybody understands what benefits them. And they can even get out their calculator and figure out what they will gain if they make the taxpayer buy their electric vehicle, or what they will gain if they make the taxpayer fund the solar array that's going on their rooftop, what they can gain if they break open the jeweler's case and steal the pearls and diamonds and necklaces and Rolexes. They understand, they're calculating. That's the whole point of your illustration, is men and women and individuals are very good at calculating their own gain, and they always discount the losses otherwise. That's what makes politics so ugly and mean, is politicians calculate their gain, their election opportunity, their re-election to office, their perks and advantages, and they discount the enormous tragedy and loss that occurs in the private sector. And every time they do that, they're just proving how ignorant they are of economics. Remember, I was an economics major in college. I've been involved in economics my entire life. And we just are, our fallenness, and this is a Christian principle that I believe in, our fallenness leads us to discount other people instead of lift them up with the respect they deserve. So we're in a big mix. Woodrow Wilson said at one time, he said, if a country does not remember where it was yesterday, it does not know where it is currently and what it will try to do today. And therefore, it's a futile thing, because if you don't know where you're going or what you're doing here, you know, you're never going to understand it from you know, your worldview. What is it you're trying to accomplish? We're destroying that. The Democrats actually are destroying that every day in every yes. policy mandate they promote.
Yep.
It's quite shameful.
Oh, it's completely shameful. But yeah, and it's a great point. If you don't understand your past, you're never going to be able to plan well for the future. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We've been talking about a year in review. Coming up next, we'll start taking a look at the year ahead with Senator Dennis Lithgow. Stay with us. Welcome back. Senator Dennis Lithgow has been joining us today for an early year in review, and we are going to now start shifting and looking forward to the year ahead. And we've been looking at the state of Oregon and now what we might expect in 2022. So Dennis, overall, do you think there will be more Republicans in elected office after the 2022 election or fewer? I mean, do you see a red wave or just a few drops of red food coloring?
Yeah, boy, that's a tough question. I would like to think it's a red wave, but remember, the Democrats have engineered rules that mm-hmm. have essentially destroyed free, open, and fair balloting. And so even with the gerrymandering we spoke of at the beginning of the hour, they are always trying to connive power. They can't get power gracefully through open dialogue and transparency. The only way they can accomplish their goals is with brute force. And the only way they can get brute force is pretend that they've been elected to this position of authority. And so here in Oregon, we had a House Bill 3291, which said Election Day Tuesday is no longer Election Day. You get another 7 extra days to turn in your ballot.
Wow.
And what that means is for the next 7 days, the blue wave of Democrat union employees can call their neighbors or call people, you know, because we know who voted and who didn't vote. Mm-hmm. And all of those balloting, all of those ballot rolls, those voter rolls that never get cleaned up by the various county clerks have thousands of individuals on them. You can fill out ballots for those people and turn them in. And then another item within that piece of legislation, which nobody knows happened except for all of the Republicans on the Senate floor who were raising their hands and saying, this stinks. They put in another thing, a requirement that's a may clause. The county clerk may count ballots without postmarks. So they may count it. So now what's the metric for May? The metric for May is whatever, you know,
whatever
floats your boat.
Like. Yeah.
So I could tear open a ballot, see Trump on the as the circled candidate for president, and decide as a county clerk or elections official to throw that one away. And then I could tear open another one and see Biden as the circled candidate without a postmark. Neither of these are postmarked, but this is part of the game. And I can turn that one in to get counted. Now, you can imagine how many times. Now, this is just legalized theft of the election process. And this was all pushed under voter access. We need more voters to be able to access the election cycle. And they're being being denied through racism the ability to cast their vote. And it's all a scam. It's a lie. And this is part of the thing that worries me the most about the upcoming election. We never even dealt with fraud in the last election. We're never going to deal with fraud in the next election if we don't get the public to say, wait, enough is enough. Balloting rules are deadly.
Yeah. So you have people that follow the rules. They cast their vote by election day. And now you've got 7 days for which Democrat operatives can then turn around and disenfranchise all of those valid votes. So is this something that can be challenged
in
court? That's correct. Especially federal court.
Well, yeah, states run the election process. You remember the federal H.R. 1, I believe it was under the Biden administration, was an attempt to do this
yes.
at the federal level so that no state could rebel against this and require a voter ID or something. In Oregon, the Democrats, just passed this law that says, whatever goes. So I could be ahead by 5,000 votes on Election Day Tuesday, and all our people did the right thing. They showed up with their IDs, they signed their names, and they got everything in, postmarked, etc. And then the left gets 7 days to make yay many phone calls a day to finally upend the ballot that happened on Election Day Tuesday. And nobody seems to mind. Nobody seems to think this is untoward. And it's just a disgusting attempt to steal elections at every turn. It's got nothing to do with helping the poor or helping the impoverished or helping those underrepresented classes of individuals. This is just about stealing power right out of the pocket of the individual and harnessing that power for your own political purposes.
Yeah, that is absolutely shocking. You know, this is very troubling, and we're going to have to look into this further to see if there are, in fact, some kind of remedies out there. Constitutional attorney Jonathan Emort had previously said, although I don't remember if it was on air or off, that rule changes that impact federal guidelines and votings can be challenged. But let's go ahead and move on, though. We had talked last week with Alex Garlatos, and despite elected Democrats giving Democrat candidates in CD4 a 10-point swing, going from a -1 Democrat disadvantage to a +9 Democrat advantage, but lo and behold, incumbent Democrat DeFazio up and retires and announced he's not running again. So what do you make of DeFazio's sudden retirement there?
Well, I don't know that DeFazio's scared of a red wave. He could just be, you know, he's made his bed. He's more than happy to sleep in all the taxpayer money that he's lavished his life with. And now it's up to Scarlatos to challenge the next couple of Democrats that throw their name in the ring. This is with this kind of gerrymandering, this is a perfect opportunity for a non-incumbent to come into the race and win because they've now got this Democrat majority. So DeFazio was probably part of the team that helped move the boundary lines so that the new unseated non-incumbent Democrat challenger would make would just have numbers that were impossible to beat. Yeah. Now, because of the red wave concept, and that's the start of this question you asked me, you know, will there be a red wave? If there is, potentially we can rip that seat out from the Democrat hold. But I think the way they re-engineered it, if they would have left it the way it was prior to the gerrymandering, redistricting, we could have had that seat would have been ours.
Yeah.
And they couldn't allow that to transpire. So they essentially jerry-rigged the system and put that's where jerry-rigged comes
from. You know, it just says a lot
by
about
the way, it's gerrymandering.
Yeah. It says a lot about the lack of attractiveness of your policies if you literally have to cheat to try to win. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. For Republicans thinking Democrats have screwed things up so badly that Oregon might turn red, there is another monkey wrench in the gears. We'll talk about that next with Senator Dennis Linthicum. And
And welcome back. We're taking an early look ahead at the year of 2022, and we've been doing that with Senator Dennis Lithcomb. And Dennis, you raised a really interesting point in that last segment, which is that the Democrats have extended, they've essentially shifted the voting day from that first Tuesday in November, and they've allowed a seven-day grace period for more votes to come in, which means that Democrat operatives can take a look at what's what has come in so far, know the areas they have to go out and canvass and get more, basically magically make more ballots appear in favor of Democrats. So here's the thing, though. If there's that seven-day window, should all Republicans simply just wait until that seventh day and vote on that day, make that the new election day? That way they don't know how many votes they have to make up.
You cannot do that technically, because those all fall under the May clause. And so, bingo, I don't have to count any of those. Nothing requires me to count those. It's not a shell clause within the legislative language.
Would they decide not to count all of those, or can they individually select on those votes and decide which ones to count?
There's no... Right. Great question. There are no metrics in the legislative language. Wow. In other words, don't know what the county clerk will. Yeah, that's the point. That's what makes it so dangerous. Is I described it saying you could tear one open and count that one and tear the other one open and not count that one. You could do it even maybe by precinct. We're going to count all of them from the precinct 19, but count none of them from precinct 24. And this is it's a May clause. There's no requirement to count any of them. You don't have to count any of them. You don't have to count all of them. You have the freedom to count some or not. And that's what makes that so dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. So we've got a lot of good quality candidates running for a Republican candidate for governor. Aside from the voting issues that you raise, what does it mean for Republicans to have Betsy Johnson on the ballot as an independent for governor? I mean, is this a monkey wrench in the gears? Will this help or hurt Republican chances, you think, to retake the governorship with that third party candidate in there?
I think the third party candidate, my hope is that the third party candidate really disrupts the Democrat machine, because Betsy Johnson has been a lifelong Democrat. She has she's walked in step with Democrats on all but some critical things like Second Amendment and whatnot and some Fourth Amendment things. But she, from a policy perspective, she is very aligned with the Democrat Party. And in fact, the platform for the Independent Party is very close to the Democrat Party platform. The Republican Party platform is entirely different from both of those, because the Republican platform is about your freedom in a free market society, your liberties that were granted to you by God the Creator, not by the governor and not by OSHA and not by OHA. These individual liberties and rights belong to you, and you have the freedom to operate in the marketplace, and those just rewards, your happiness, belong to you also. The government should be as small as possible to ensure justice and integrity, but not so large that they can take your rights away from you or shuttle you off to the back of the bus. Remember, that's what made
the concentration camp.
Right. You and Carla have probably watched that video of the gal who was whisked away to the concentration camp in Australia. It's like, good grief. Yeah. I never imagined that Australia would do something like that. But here it is on film. They did it.
Yeah. It is insane what's happening there in Australia. And if we don't guard our freedoms here, that same sort of thing could absolutely happen here. So what do you think of the current field of Republican candidates for governor? Do you have any real strengths that you see there, and who jumps out in your mind?
Yeah, well, the ones who jump out in my mind are the ones who are promoting the founding ideals, the ones who are promoting liberty and less government, more federalism, more state independence, more freedom for the individual. as soon as a candidate gets up to the microphone and says healthcare for all, I'm writing him off. You know, that is not a Republican principle. And so what I typically do is I pay attention to how they speak of the founders, how much do they admire the concepts. Sure, you and I have screwed up. Our nation has screwed up. We've made mistakes. And that doesn't mean the founders didn't attempt to constrain government and limit the impact government would have on your life. Remember, it was Jefferson who said the Constitution, i.e. the rules of the game, it's no different than the layout of a basketball court and the lines, this is out of bounds, you can't dribble over there, you got to dribble in here, kind of stuff. The Constitution has been created to bind up the several branches of government. And the reason that he used the word bind up is he said, let me hear no more of good-hearted, well-meaning men, but bind them with the chains of the Constitution. In other words, constrain them, because when they transgress these boundaries, they'll be up in the bleachers dribbling their basketball. And how will you be able to stop them once you let them out of bounds like that? And that's what we see with the COVID nonsense. That's what we see with the face masks forever until we put you in the grave. I don't even know if you go into a casket with a toe tag where the hospital got $39,000, will they let your loved ones see your smiling face one last time, or will you have a face diaper on? I don't know what that looks like. But the Constitution are the rules for our privilege that we have as individuals within these United States. And we've got to defend that with every fiber of our being.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll come back and wrap things up with Senator Dennis Lithcomb. Stay with us. And welcome back on our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We're wrapping things up with Senator Dennis Lithcomb out of the Klamath Falls area. And we've been doing an early year in review and also a look ahead. And so Dennis, what do you see as the biggest opportunities for Republicans? What are some of the biggest issues for Republicans in Oregon and what they ought to run on and win on in 2022?
I think one of the biggest issues that's really, I think it's a no-brainer type of item, is just school choice. Parents have been so disappointed through this COVID era, seeing that their children are not being taught reading, writing, and arithmetic, but their children are being taught this dangerous leftist ideology. And this ideology is destructive to our American enterprise. It's destructive to the state of Oregon. Parents finally recognize it. They see, and legislators haven't been privy to it either. So legislators, parents, everybody at large within our community sees the trouble that has been perpetrated by these men without principles and a lust for arbitrary power and forcing it down your kids' or my kids' throat. And now they realize that through the school board, they can change things. And I think this is a political opportunity for us to get school choice legislation in, whether it's with regard to virtual schools or whether it's regard to freedom for the curriculum or throwing out some of the dogma that is being pushed down our kids' throats and poisoning their minds. I think this is an important opportunity for Republicans to take command and control of this situation. It's a great opportunity to give our children the freedom they deserve.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. We were so excited to talk with Donna Kreitzberg last week about that very issue. And I totally see a huge opportunity here because it used to be such a Democrat stronghold. You know, they kind of had the stranglehold on anything about education. That was their big issue to run on. And now here we are. Oregon is dead last in terms of schooling results. And so I really hope that people will start waking up and realizing that you can keep betting on a lame horse all you want, but you'll keep losing no matter which Democrat jockey is riding it. So Democrats are highly prone to voting Democrat no matter who or how far left that Democrat candidate is. in 2022, how do we draw more people into the Republican tent?
I think the way to draw them into the Republican tent is to preach life, liberty, and your own pursuits, your own just pursuits. We don't require a lot. It's your life, it's your liberty, it's your freedom, and I'll step out of the way. I don't need to inspect to see under your kitchen sink if you have cockroaches living under there. I don't care. And the left, what the left says is, oh, that would be a public health violation. We need to secure the safety of these people. And they want to bust in the front door and inspect every room of your house and see what's going on and how's it going on. In the meantime, the public school system is teaching that America is racist, that they're systemically racist, that they've got enormous problems that can't be solved unless we tear the whole thing down and we defund our police and we destroy our schools. I think that the public is envious of the freedom we had 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and they want that freedom back, and they're willing to go to their polling place and click the right ballot box and make a change for the better.
Well, I certainly hope so. The endless mandates for disease that you are virtually guaranteed to survive, 99.8% and even higher, if you take care of yourself, eat well, lose weight, and strengthen your immune system. I would really like to think that 2022 is the year the Oregonians finally reject authoritarianism. Is that, or they're just going to continue to give up their freedoms because they believe the fear that the government is spreading?
Right, right. And it's that rejection of authoritarianism. Look at the CDC should be issuing guidelines. They should be saying you should increase your vitamin D3. You should increase your zinc. You should increase vitamin C. You should eat so many apples a day or tomatoes a day, whatever the guidelines they want. But they should not strip the provision for your health provider if he happens to prescribe ivermectin or HCQ. Yeah. There's no reason for them to step into that relationship and tell your prescriber what he can and can't do without losing his license.
That's exactly right. Politicians are not doctors, and they need to stay out of that relationship. Dennis, this has been fun. Best of luck in 2022, and really enjoyed the talk today.
Well, good. Thank you so much. Hopefully your listeners enjoyed this conversation too, and we'll do it again soon.
You know, while 2021 started bad and went downhill quick, what escaped attention was that so much of 2021 has been the year of proving the right, including President Trump, that hydroxychloroquine really does work and has been proven to be effective at fighting COVID-19, same with ivermectin, that COVID-19 in all likelihood originated from a Chinese lab, that the experimental vaccines won't protect you, that masks don't work, that blue state lockdowns didn't work and schools should be open for in-person learning, that Hunter Biden's laptop was real, not Russian disinformation, that associates of Hillary Clinton and the DNC really were orchestrating a plot to overthrow the president. Some of them are already being indicted. 2022 will be a better year if we make it so. And that's going to take some more hard work to build on the successes in 2021, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.